He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. We are live from Minneapolis here today, a little bit overcast in Minneapolis, a little bit overcast in the market. We've got just the opposite today of what we had yesterday. We've got the NASDAQ down 37 points. It hit an all-time high yesterday, by the way. The NASDAQ is at 16,758. The Dow is up 30 or 49 right now, however, after a big down day yesterday. The NASDAQ is at 39,000, or the Dow is at 39,856, closing in on 40K again. The S&P 500 is dead flat at 5308. That is all-time high territory, however. Crude oil is up 69 cents, or down 69 cents now to 79.11. Gold is down 550. Silver is over $32 right now, 32.36. And I think the big surprise for the day is Bitcoin, up $3,632. And it's clear back up to 70,705. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide in Minneapolis today, part of that great nation of America and one of the great areas of the U.S. up here around the Great Lakes. It's really beautiful up here. We're in Minneapolis, overcast day today, and as I said, a little overcast day on the markets today. We had kind of an odd day in the market yesterday. It's not often that CEOs say, well, I think our stock price is too expensive here. And by the way, I think retirement is coming sooner rather than later. That was Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan. He must have woke up on the wrong side of the bed or whatever, but J.P. Morgan was down pretty sharply yesterday. It's a member of the Dow, and that took the Dow down almost 200 points yesterday. But at the same time, the NASDAQ gained 105, and the NASDAQ, well, the all-time high for the NASDAQ now is, the all-time high is 16,795. And we're just below that right now, that all-time high, searching for 17,000 on the NASDAQ. So it was kind of a weird day yesterday. Bitcoin surging. Wow. You know, the all-time high in Bitcoin, or the recent 52-week high, anyways, I believe that's the all-time high, is 73,083. And Bitcoin right now, what got into Bitcoin all of a sudden? It's at 70,000. 744. It got down to right around 60,000, 61,000, somewhere in there last week. And now all of a sudden, the very unpredictable Bitcoin is on the move once again. Interest rates are behaving themselves. We're at 4.41. We got down to 4.37 last week. Fear of 5% seems to have dissipated for now. And I think silver's a big story. $32.36. That's a real big story there on silver. I can't remember the last time I saw silver at $32. Oil is remaining flat after the death of the president of Iran. Most articles I've read, most commentary, most opinion pieces I've read, there should be very little change in the way Iran deals with the rest of the world. I did listen to a good show last night on Raisi's legacy of how many people, the butcher of Tehran, how many people he killed when he came into office, getting rid of those that weren't loyal to the regime. He's got a lot of blood on his hands, and it doesn't sound like there will be any big changes with the new president, and then, of course, coming elections in Iran, whether they count or not those elections. It seems like Iran will continue to be what they are. Tuesday's economic calendar is full of Fed speakers. 9 o'clock. Well, Fed barking will bark. Waller will speak at 9 o'clock. Williams will speak at 9:05. Bostic will speak at 9:10. Barr will speak at 11:45. And then Bostic, working overtime there, he speaks again tonight for another speech. That always moves the markets. They all have their own opinions. Some are hawkish. Some are dovish. Some are in the middle. Kashkari is known for his hawkishness, and others are known for their dovishness. And it would seem that one of the most dovish ones in the whole band of marauders is the Fed chairman, who is keeping rates still steady. But maybe we'll see a rate cut before the election. Okay, that's what I'm thinking. Canada's annual inflation rate drops to 2.7% in April. Well, okay, they're headed towards 2. They were at 2.9% last month. They're going in the right direction. Well, we're kind of stuck in forward, up over 3% still. So it's good to see at least maybe Canada will follow Canada. We've also seen some pretty benign inflation prints here recently coming out of Europe. And again, Jamie Dimon, not only did he say his stock might be kind of expensive, he also said that the company will not buy back a lot of its own stock at current prices. He says repurchasing shares at a valuation of 2.3 times tangible book value is a mistake, he said Monday at the Lenders Investor Day event. He says we are not going to buy back our own stock at this price, so then why should I buy it? Dimon last week warned that markets are too optimistic about a soft landing scenario for the U.S. economy. He also said that the timetable for succession at J.P. Morgan is no longer 5 years. It's up to the board to determine how much longer he will stay as the CEO, he said. So that's kind of suggesting that inside of 5 years you'll have a new leader at the top at the J.P. Morgan. He's still one of the most respected CEOs out there. He does make a lot of bold, controversial statements, but he's also generally right most of the time. And, of course, he runs the biggest bank in America, $588 billion in market cap. Bank of America is a distant second at $307 billion. In market capitalization, and then comes Wells Fargo at just $231 billion. So Dimon has a pretty good pulse on the markets and where they're at. Big news for Lilly today, and it's good news. Let's see how the stock is reacting. It was our biggest winner this morning when I looked. Lilly is up 2.3%. It's come back a little. It was up 3%, but that represents a new high, all-time high on Lilly, on its march to $1 trillion. It's at $760 billion, a little bit closer to a trillion. I think it's going to get to a trillion, and it's over $800 per share for only about the third or fourth time in its history. Why? Lilly's tirzepatide cleared for diabetes treatment in China. Well, how big a market is that? Okay, they have secured China approval for its blockbuster drug, tirzepatide, for use in treating diabetes. Now, of course, the other drug they have is Zepbound, and that's for weight loss. They're almost the same drug. But tirzepatide is a novel dual agonist of both the GLP-1 and the glucose-dependent insulin gastrotropic polypeptide, GIP, receptor. It was cleared by Chinese regulators for treating adults with type 2 diabetes. Now, I don't know what the percentage of people that have diabetes is in China versus the U.S., but just the mere size of China and the population of China, this is a pretty big deal. Its use for chronic weight management is still under review, the company added, so they still have that out there. And, of course, that drug is Mounjaro and Zepbound. So we remain very bullish on Lilly and also Novo Nordisk. When we come back, just a little bit more color on that Lilly news. This is the Best Stocks Now show. Here to the Best Stocks Now show, live from Minneapolis. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, the markets haven't done much since they opened. About the same. The Dow is up 60. The Nasdaq is down 33. The S&P is dead flat. The big story of the day is Bitcoin, which is up $3,781. To 70,680. I don't know what got into Bitcoin. I don't know how you predict Bitcoin. Did Bitcoin report earnings? Did Bitcoin get approved in China? I don't know how to predict Bitcoin, but I just say have fun with it. Now, I want to come back to the Lilly story just for a moment. Okay, the drug stocks have been a mixed bag over the last decade. The big pharma, Merck's been a mixed bag. Of course, you've had Pfizer, which shot up during the COVID years. You've got Glaxo. You've got AstraZeneca and other competitors out there. Let's just take a look at Lilly's performance. It's by far the best, the most dominant drug stock out there. Over the last 10 years, an investment in Lilly has netted the investor 29.6% per year. That's if you annualize it. Of course, you multiply that by 10, you've got a big, big gain. And then, of course, you do the compound annual growth, and it comes out at 29.58 versus 18 for the S&P. Over the last 5 years, Lilly, LLY, the pride of Indianapolis, is up 46.4%. compound annual growth per year over the last 5 years. It also pays a little dividend. That 46.4 compares to 17.2 for the S&P 500. Over the last 3 years, Lilly's averaged 57% per year. Market 9.3. It's clobbered the S&P. That's what you call alpha. That's what you call extreme alpha. It hasn't had a lot of momentum in the last 3 months or so. It's been kind of flatlining, absorbing, consolidating, cooling off. However, over the last 12 months, you go back to 12 months ago today, the stock is up 79% versus the S&P's 26.5. Well, that's what we're looking for here at Gunderson Capital. We're looking for alpha. We're not looking for negative alpha, such as many other drug companies out there. We're looking for positive alpha, a catalyst, and we're looking for something that can continue to grow into the future, and that's where the valuation comes into play. All right, let's just check the current valuation on Lilly. It is our biggest position here, and we're proud of it. I think it's a blockbuster drug that they have. I show Lilly is ranked number 47 right now out of 5,300 stocks, funds, and mutual funds, ETFs and mutual funds, in our BestStocksNow.com database, and I show 92% upside potential. We like 75 to or better upside. So it checks all the boxes. What can I say? It has a good chart. Still has a decent valuation. And that's based on a 5-year valuation. And of course, the performance is unmatched that's some of the best performance numbers in the entire market, not just in the drug sector. And again, the news today, they get Tirzepatide is cleared for diabetes treatment in China. Pretty big country. Dell sees bullish views at Citigroup on potential gain in the AI market. Okay, Dell has had an interesting history. I go back to the late 90s when the PC revolution took place, the personal computer, and of course Michael Dell was at the forefront of that revolution with Dell laptops. And then it became a commodity, very much a commodity, with a lot of entrants. You know, you had Acer, you had entrants from Korea, you had entrants from China. And it became a very competitive business, Apple. The laptop itself really became commoditized. And Dell went private for a while. And then they came back on the scene in 2016 as a public company at about $10 a share, okay? But Dell has reinvented themselves, and Dell is much more of a server company focusing on that as opposed to, they still make laptops. I use a Dell laptop. I've had pretty good success with Dell products. But the buzz around Dell these days is AI, okay? And they make some of those servers, and of course they compete against Super Microcomputer, SMCI. They compete against AWS from Amazon. So let's just take a track record. I look at the track record. I haven't done that for a while, and I was actually kind of surprised to see just how good Dell's performance has been since they came public again. They now have a 10-year track record once again, 24.6% per year. That's pretty good. Beating the S&P of 18% over the last 5 years, 32.7 versus 17 for the S&P. Over the last 3 years, 43% versus 9.3. And then, of course, with the NVIDIA buzz, over the last 12 months, Dell is up 209%. So it's gone on quite a ride here. It was down around 70. It was $35 a share in 2023. It was trading in the 30s, and now it's $147.21. So the performance has been very good. Now, let's take a look at the valuation of Dell. And I did do a little bit of tweaking here today on my evaluation for Dell, which is all of a sudden has become a very relevant stock once again after being irrelevant for quite some time. But, yeah, I got a little problem with the valuation. But what you're seeing here in Dell is multiple expansion. You're not really seeing big earnings growth. In fact, over the last 4 quarters, they've actually had down sales, minus 20%, minus 13, minus 10, minus 11. So their sales are not growing, but their margins are growing because they're selling much higher end products. And in this most recent quarter, their earnings were up 22%. So I think what you're seeing, we'll see where my valuation comes in tomorrow. Just tweak the multiple a little bit. I think they deserve a higher multiple than where they've been. But my hat is off to Michael Dell, bringing the company back, taking it public again, and having quite a run here over the last 5 years or so. This is the Best Stocks Now show. When we come back, wow, we got a lot of earnings, Lowe's, Macy's, Palo Alto Networks. This is the Best Stocks Now show.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, not a lot of change here in the markets. I can tell you what the markets are waiting for tomorrow. What's tomorrow? Well, one stock could really move the markets tomorrow. It has now become the stock to watch by far, NVIDIA. And they will report earnings after the close of the market tomorrow. And that will be a market-moving event one way or the other, for sure. Now, I want to bring a stock to your attention that all of a sudden is popping up on my screens. It's hitting new highs. Nutanix, NTNX. And they are collaborating with NVIDIA. See, that's the magic word. Say the magic word, and you become a momentum stock. They are going to collaborate with NVIDIA to help enterprises adopt generative AI. Now, that's, you know, as I think of how I can use AI, I'm sure it could aid me in a lot of things if it learned what all the processes and the routine I go through to write the newsletter. Some of them are just mundane processes, updating the graphics, etc. How do I use AI? I mean, how does a guy like me use AI to help me with that? There's got to be a middleman. There's got to be something in the middle that trains you to use it for some of these applications that we use. Maybe you own a little dress shop or whatever the case may be, or a candy store or whatever the case may be. There's got to be a lot of ways that AI can help us, but we need help to know how to deploy AI in our various and sundry businesses. And it sounds like maybe Nutanix is a little bit in that void there. And I, all of a sudden, this is starting to turn into a pretty big momentum stock. It's Silicon Valley based. Nutanix is now a $17 billion company. It went public in 2016, had a very choppy kind of a history until last October when the stock started taking off. It got down to $13 and around $13 to $20. All of a sudden, it's $73. What happened? Well, all of a sudden, it's associated with AI. And in fact, over the last 12 months, NTNX is up 180%, while the market's up 26.5. That gives it a momentum grade of A. Oh, the valuation is pretty stretched. It's got a P.E. ratio of 55. It has a forward P.E. ratio of 67 right now. The earnings are starting to take off the runway. I look at their last four quarters. Earnings up 500%. Earnings up 271%. Earnings up 999%. And earnings up 77%. So all of a sudden, keep your eye on Nutanix just from the numbers itself, which puts it into that momentum category. I did tweak some numbers on my valuation. I think the multiple is probably stretching. So I gave a little bit of room there in that multiple. And we'll see where that valuation comes in tomorrow. When all the numbers are calculated, when it updates tonight. But that's one to keep your eye on, Nutanix, NTNX. Lamb Research does not think their stock is too expensive, like Jamie Dimon does, I guess. Lamb Research stock climbs climbs on a $10 billion stock buyback. Now you see, when they buy back shares with their own money, that takes shares off the market. You divide the earnings into a lesser amount of shares. You get a bigger earnings number. You get a bigger valuation. They're also going to do a 10-for-1 stock split. And the reason I bring up Lamb Research is I would say behind ASML Lithography out of the Netherlands, I would say that Silicon Valley-based Lamb Research is probably the second most important company as far as it relates to semiconductor capital equipment, the equipment used to make semiconductors. Now, that business is up and down. It's also kind of commoditized, but it takes some very sophisticated equipment to make these very sophisticated semiconductors today. Lam is a $125 billion company, LRCX. It's returned 32% over the last 10 years per year on a compound annual growth. This is one of the premier stocks in the entire market. Over the last 5 years, 38%, but it got a little expensive here recently, and it has slowed down. It's still up 57% over the last year. But we'll see. They're going to go through a 10-to-1 stock split. The stock's $955. You know how you tell a good stock? It's expensive. That's another criteria. You're not going to find a good $2 stock, one that's gone from 100 down to 2. How about one that's gone from 2 up to 100 or up to 1,000, okay? Lamb Research was $105 in 2017. Today it's $954 a share. They manufacture etch and cleaning system used in wafer fabrication equipment for the semiconductor industry. Okay, now let's just take a look. Palo Alto Networks would be the first one I'm going to look at here. You know, I sold all my software stocks a couple of months ago. I didn't like the way they were trading. They're still very, very weak, the charts. Palo Alto had a very bad report 3 months ago. The stock went down, way down on that report, about to 33%. It's trickled back up, and then they reported last night, and it was a little bit of a beat, but nowhere near what the expectations, the whisper numbers were. Palo Alto's down 4.1% today, following billings guidance. Okay, so that's the forward. Companies report, here's what we did over the last 3 months, and here's what we're projecting over the next 3 months. The market is forward-looking, and that three-month projection is very, very important. That's really what the market takes as its cue. So anyways, Palo Alto Networks, and that's just not a very good sector right now. The software sector, the Salesforce, Intuit, CrowdStrike, Palantir, and others in that sector, not just weak charts. All right, the other one that has reported, and this gives us an update here on the consumer, Lowe's. Okay, Lowe's, a bad report, just like Home Depot. This is now a non-growth, soggy stock. Their earnings leveled off in 2022, and now this is they're looking for the last 4 years now, 3 years, flat earnings, flat sales, soggy, stodgy, old growth giant of yesteryear. And, you know, look, I love going to Lowe's. I personally prefer Lowe's to Home Depot. Lowe's is down 2.9% today. You know, Lowe's is one of those stocks that you'll find in most of the portfolios that come from the wirehouse firms. They like the big recognizable names like that, Home Depot and Lowe's. But nowadays, I'm not going to take market risk and have a stock that has very little chance of beating the market. Why would I do that? And that's just my own way I look at it. That just seems like a logical conclusion to me. But it's one of the most widely owned stocks out there. Consider that over the last 12 months, Lowe's is up 9.6%. You might say, well, that's a pretty good one-year return. Yeah, but the market's up 26.5% over the last 12 months, the S&P 500. And when I do evaluation on Lowe's, looking out into the future, it just doesn't look very good. Let me give you my current upside potential on Lowe's, L-O-W. I show upside, once I find it here, of, 55%, which is very, very sub, 58%, very subpar. Lowe's is ranked number 2,600 out of 5,300. Not good enough to be a best stock now, in my opinion. We'll be right back and we'll take a little look underneath the surface of today's market. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, live from Minneapolis, a rainy Minneapolis right now. And congratulations to the Timberwolves who took on the defending champions, beat them in Game 7, and set up for whoever wins between, it's Indianapolis, it's Boston, right? And the other, I can't remember now. Anyways, congratulations to the Minnesota Timberwolves. The market pretty flat today. Looking ahead to NVIDIA's earnings on Wednesday and the Fed speakers today, our biggest winner today is Lilly. It is surging. It's up 2.8%. 805.29, I think that's an all-time high on Lilly on getting that approval from China for their diabetes drug. Now, two other stocks I want to look at here today and just put things in to perspective for you. Macy's. What kind of a battle are you fighting as a shareholder of Macy's? You're fighting an extreme uphill battle when you consider that over the last 10 years, Macy's, once a dominant bricks-and-mortar retailer, has gone down by about 10% per year over the last 10 years. That's pretty bad. Macy's is hanging in there. You know, a lot of these malls, Macy's used to anchor. Macy's got down to $4 a share in 2020. COVID didn't help Macy's. Macy's was once a $75 stock, a dominant stock in the department store industry. Now it's a small cap stock, believe it or not. It's $5.1 billion in market capitalization. They're struggling to hang on. Their sales down 3% year over year. Their last four quarters, minus 8, minus 7, minus 2, minus 3. But here's the really bad news. Their earnings were down 52%. Their last four quarters, earnings down 74%, earnings down 60%. Then they had a 30%. They had a good holiday season. And then back to minus 52%. What's the P.E. ratio on Macy's? 6. That's right. That's what you get on a company that's going the wrong way. The dividend yield is 3.7%. The stock is down 1.4% today after Macy's results topped expectations. They lifted guidance, but their comp sales remain negative. And it just seems like they're going the way of many of the other big department stores, the JCPenney's and Sears of the world. AutoZone, on the other hand, has been one of the very best bricks and mortar stores over the last decade. It's not doing well today, however. It's down 3.4%. There's a lot of competition in that industry, but there was a day not too long ago when AutoZone was one of the best performing stocks in the whole retail sector. In fact, it's still hanging on to its legacy of being a top performer. Over the last 5 years, AutoZone, 23% per year. But lately, it's starting to really level off and take on water. Their sales were up 4%. Their earnings were up 8%. The stock down 3.9% at AutoZone. $2,810 per share. They've never split. It got as high as $3,256. There was a time when I had a big position in AutoZone, maybe 5 years ago, something like that. Get into the zone. It was one of those sleepers that underneath the surface of the market was one of the top performers. Okay, so now let's take a look inside the indexes, see if we can find anything exciting going on. Let's look at the biggest index first, S&P 500. Let's see if there's any big winners and losers. S&P 500, the biggest loser, Keysight Technologies. That's kind of surprising. That's a chip stock. Globe Life down 5%. They've got some kind of investigation going on into them. Walgreens continues to slip. Another bricks and mortar loser down 4.6%. And AutoZone down 3.4%. Lowe's down 2.6%. Not a good day for bricks and mortar retailers. I would say that's another big story of the last decade, the last 20 years, 25 years. The total decay and destruction of bricks and mortar, and you can pretty much thank Amazon, or blame Amazon, depending on how you look at it. Dollar General is the biggest winner in the S&P today, up 3.9. Lilly's number two, 2.9, with their tirzepatide approval coming out of China. Tesla's up 1.9. Tesla continues to struggle mightily, however, with competition, I'm going to say, is their biggest issue right now, Chinese competition. IBM is the biggest winner in the Dow, up 2.1%. J.P. Morgan recovering a little bit from yesterday's thrashing it took. And then on the downside, Amazon down 1.4, Home Depot down 1, Boeing down 1. Let's look at the NASDAQ real quick, see if there's any winners there. Tesla's the biggest winner in the NASDAQ. The biggest loser in the NASDAQ today, NetEase. The Chinese stocks are under a little bit of pressure here today. Okay, well, I've got a lot of appointments scheduled for today. In fact, all day long and tomorrow and Wednesday. If you're in the Minneapolis area, we'll be here today, tomorrow, and actually Thursday. Three full days of appointments. We'll squeeze you in somehow. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Edie's, she's on it. She carries her phone with her. We were getting calls during dinner last night at the Mall of America, and she's booking last-minute appointments. And if you'd like to sample the newsletter, see what we own. We did find two brand-new stocks last week. On the prowl again this week, as always. Get two free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. And you don't have to be in Minneapolis to set up an appointment with us. We have clients all over the country, from the North Pole down to the Boca Raton, Miami area at Gunderson Capital Management. To set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.